Hey everybody, welcome to the Speak Up Table today. Already here we are in the studio, we got it going on, you know it. This is our opening program for opposing candidates running in the primary election for your vote, and the winner of the primary will advance to the November ballot. You know, the importance of your primary election vote this May 19th cannot be overstated. So welcome you into an excellent opportunity to be an informed voter. The candidates are here to compete to be the Republican candidate for our state legislature, seat 1A, and they are Mark Sauter and Jane Sauter. So let me be the one to say up front, they are not related. They are not related. They're not married. They never have been married. They aren't even cousins. And I think their families didn't even come over on the same boat. You know what I'm saying? So with that, let's go now to our first commercial break. And at this point, I want to encourage you all to listen to these local business advertisers. They are so important to our communities and to our economy. Listen to the PSAs and the various local activities that you'll hear information about. Always a lot of good information for you. Okay, we will be right back.
The penny might be going away, but not at Jalapeños. Every Thursday, bring in a penny and turn it into something delicious. Buy any appetizer and any drink, with or without alcohol, and get another appetizer for just one penny. Yep, 1 cent. All day, Thursdays only. Check the couch, the car, or that junk drawer. Because at Jalapeños, a penny still has value.
Hi, Jim here for the Pondere Winery. As we spring into warmer weather, we're excited to announce our 2024 Albarino as April's Wine of the Month. Receive great discounts on this popular wine in our tasting room located at 301 Cedar in downtown Sandpoint. Maya Lees' incredible artwork is adorning our walls, and our entertainment lineup for the month is stacked full of many of our favorite musicians. Go to powine.com for more details regarding our music and all other events throughout April. Come celebrate 30 years of fine wine in a warm and welcoming atmosphere at the Pondere Winery.
Spring is in the air, making it the perfect time for some spring cleaning. As you refresh your home, consider donating your gently used items to Better Together Animal Alliance. Your donations directly support the care of pets in our community. As a thank you, you'll receive a 20% off coupon to use at our thrift store. Clean out, give back, and shop for a great cause, all in one trip to Better Together Animal Alliance.
When my septic tank needs pumping, or I need a portable powder room, I call my ace in the hole. Ace Septic Tank. Come and see them sometime.
Ace Septic Tank service, where a flush beats a full house.
The sights and sounds of downtown Sandpoint create a shopping and dining experience like no other. Step into Eve's Leaves, where you'll find specially chosen collections from top fashion designers and accessories to complement you and your contemporary lifestyle. Open 7 days a week in historic downtown Sandpoint.
If you develop land, you know the frustration. The lot that won't perk. The soil that stops a good project in its tracks. Before you walk away, call EcoJohn. Our discharge-free wastewater evaporation systems can open up properties traditional septic systems can't handle, giving developers and investors a new path forward. No mound systems, no drain field, no sewer. More buildable lots, fewer surprises, better returns. Septic John by EcoJohn. Build where others can't. Visit SepticJohn.com or call EcoJohn today to learn more.
News Talk 97.1, KSBT, KBFI.
Hey, everybody, welcome back in. As promised, here in the studio with me are Mark Sauter and Jane Sauter. They are both running for your vote in the primary to be the Republican candidate for state legislature, seat 1A. Both of you, Mark, Jane, welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks for having me.
All right. Well, Mark, I'm going to start with you. And the first thing I like to do with candidates is let you introduce yourself to the audience.
Thanks, Barbara. I'm Mark Sauter. I've grew up in the fire service, retired out of the paid fire department after 30 years of service. Came up here in the 60s when I was a child at camping, fell in love with the place, and came back in the early 90s and bought property out in Sagal. Still have my trees out there. I'm a family forester. And that was in the early 90s, so I've been a taxpayer since then, and then retired in 2011, and I was here in spring of 2012, and have been here ever since. Bought a house here in Sandpoint, and then now I live just in the rural part of Dover, moved a few years later. So I wanted to have more of a rural feel. So lived there ever since. Been involved with the volunteer fire departments here, with Selkirk and Sandpoint and Sagal and Westside, and then the EMS departments as well. And been very involved in that, and then got a call that said, why don't you consider running for the legislature? So that was 4 years ago now. I've served our community, and it's a humbling experience. But I think I fit in. I represent our conservative Idaho values. The long history of individualism and hard work and fiscal responsibility. I had all that in the fire station already. So it's easy to step in and be a representative here. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for that. Jane, introduce yourself.
Thank you, Barbara, and thanks for having us here today. Well, I'm married to Steve. This year we will celebrate our 40th anniversary, and we have 9 children together and 21 grandchildren. I'm a lifetime Republican who plans to follow the platform. I have over 30 years experience as a small business owner with my husband, and I do believe I have the knowledge and the integrity to represent the people of District 1 in Boise. I will just say that I'm running because we have an incumbent in that seat who votes with the Democrats 74% of the time in the 2026 session. And I believe that we need a course correction. And my concern is that if he votes with the Democrats that amount of time, I'm just wondering why he doesn't run as a Democrat. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for that. Well, Mark, I'm going to bring it back to you because you were not endorsed by the Bonner County Republican Central Committee and I think another Republican voter guide. Why, in your opinion, were you not endorsed?
I don't know. I would suggest you ask them. I was endorsed by them before. I was never involved in this process. As you know, Jane's been campaigning, doing this for quite some time now. And while I was in Boise and representing us, all this stuff transpired. So you'd best ask them.
All right. You know, well,
how their decision was made.
All right. All right. Thank you for that. Jane, you were endorsed. So
yes.
Why, in your opinion, were you endorsed?
Well, there is a pretty rigorous vetting process they go through. They give us a list of questions. The state party also has questions on their website that we have to fill out. There's also a form called Integrity in Affiliation, which we have to also fill out for the state party, and then they post that on their website. And it basically just asks us as Republican candidates if we will abide by the Republican platform. And it gives you an out so that if you don't like something in the platform, you can actually write it right on there and they will actually post that. And it's called agreeing to affiliate with exceptions. And if you have anything in the platform that you disagree with, you have the opportunity right there to write those out. And then they also have the application. Then our local Bonner committee, central committee, gives us a questionnaire. We fill that out. They have a live interview with their committee, and then they make their decision. And all 32 or 34, or whatever, they're the precinct committee people, they all vote. And so I was the endorsed candidate in my race.
Okay, it sounds like you answered the questions or you went through the process is mm-hmm. what I'm understanding.
Yes.
And you did not.
Actually, all that happened in March. I was in Boise for our session.
All right.
I was representing our district. I will say this. I think our job here is to represent our district. I understand and have followed the Republican platform. But you're elected here to represent your district.
You're elected as a Republican.
Right. To represent our district.
All right.
And I do so. And I also want to address this votes like a Democrat. I think about half of the votes in the that go through the Capitol of the 500 that we do, they're unanimous.
Yeah, I think so, the percentage.
So the numbers get jacked around quite a bit.
Well, let's understand
let's
how
be
that
clear about that
happens. Yeah. Jane has a comment on that.
Go right ahead.
Well, the people who put out that percentage discounted the unanimous votes prior to making that 74% rate. So that is without the unanimous votes.
So is there a formula available? Do they ever show their work?
I'm sure they would if you would ask.
And who would that be?
Well, I believe that 74% rating came from the Stop Idaho Rhinos.
And that's an affiliate of the Idaho Freedom Foundation?
No, they're separate. They're completely
separate. Sure about that?
I'm almost 100% sure.
Well, okay. Even if they are.
I don't know anyone who works at Stop Idaho Rhinos who actually works for the IFF.
Okay. But they're involved with
them. I understand
them.
That. All right, let's take it off of that. Let's go to
I also wanted one more thing on that. As far as the vote with the Dems, or do the Dems recognize that I bring bills that help our district, and they want to go along with that as well? Curious.
Tell us.
I run fire district bills that help fire districts across the state. I run a property insurance bill that helps across the state, and it's considered, and if the Democrats vote on that, I get scored down. That seems odd to me, but let's go ahead.
All right, Jane, the next question I'll take to you first has to do with tax relief. In the people I talk to, which are from all different places, if you can imagine, because people recognize my voice if they haven't seen me, but tax relief is at the top of everybody's list, whether it's grocery or property or income or whatever. So share one tax relief initiative that you support or do not support, and what happened to that issue in 2026?
Okay, well, I'll go right for the grocery tax. We'll talk about that first because there was a motion and a bill to repeal the grocery tax, which I feel is a baby step in the correct direction. But in the 2026 session, it didn't fly. So nothing got accomplished with that. Eliminating property tax.
Let's not go to property tax.
Oh, okay.
Let's stay with grocery tax.
Okay.
So, Mark, what is your position on eliminating in some form the grocery tax in Idaho?
Last year we had a vote, and I supported it, to increase the grocery tax exemption. The state of Idaho brings in between $25 and $40 million a year from our visitors into our local economy. That's a lot of money and revenue for our state. The $155 now that's for each Idahoan that they can write off is pretty darn close to a full exemption for their grocery taxes. If somebody wants to, they can itemize and get up to $250 per person based on the groceries that they buy. So I think that's a good way to go. It's available. It's not immediately available, but that's the only problem, is it's not immediately available.
It's the current exemption.
So it's an exemption. I think it's $155 per person.
And you would like it to go to what?
If we can expand it, we can go to $175. But the issue is, let's keep that working. That's a great revenue source for our state. And to write that off, I think, it's tough enough. We had a tough budget season this year. And to let that revenue go, I don't think is a good idea.
All right, keeping with you, Mark, another tax, if there is another tax that you would like to see amended, either increase the tax for revenue or decrease it to some extent.
Property tax is usually the number one issue that comes up. This year I introduced a bill that would double our homeowner's exemption, also index it so we don't have to go back and change a fixed amount. And then also would increase the circuit breaker from 50% to 55%, so we can make sure we catch a few more people on the other end of that spectrum. I didn't get a hearing with it, but I put the bill out there. None of the property tax bills got a hearing this year, I don't believe. So that wasn't necessarily surprising, but I was not able to talk the chairman and of Tax and Rev nor the Speaker of the House into letting that go. But I still think we need to go back and deal with our property tax exemptions for homeowners.
Jane, what's your position on Mark's, again, going the exemption route rather than just getting rid and freeing us from that tax? What's your position? What do you think?
My position would be that reducing the property tax first, potentially incrementally lowering it, and then eliminating it altogether, I think, is the best thing for the taxpayers. It's a conversation that we need to have. It needs to be done fairly, equitably. But when you have a state budget that's grown by roughly 60% in the last 6 years, and there's taxing districts that maybe we need to reevaluate, I think that all of that, we have to think about the person that's been in their home for a long time, maybe 20, 30 years, and they've been paying and paying and paying. And is there an end in sight for those people? So I think that if we could do something at the top where when someone buys a home, they get the 6% tax, it's run along with their mortgage for the length of their mortgage, 30 years. When it's paid, and they're free and clear, and they own that home. They're not just going to be a renter in their old age.
All right, so property tax. I think I can get one more tax question, and I'll keep it with you, Jane, on this. What about tax credits for homeschool parents or parents who want to educate their children with private education? Mm-hmm. Because they are paying, I think, through their property taxes for a lot of education.
Right.
And so, but they don't get any of the benefit of that, I think, is what the parents are saying. What do you think about for homeschool parents and private school tax credits?
In the case of if they're homeschooling, you're saying that could they get that taken off of their tax bill because they're not utilizing it?
It could be that, or it could be just a payment, move it from the public budget over to the homeschool budget.
Right. Well, I'm fully in support in all of that. I'm fully in support of the parental tax credit for the homeschooling and the private schooling. So I feel like that is a $50 million it's worth it. Let me just say that the investment is worth it because the product that we're getting out of those homeschool and private school kids is incredible. So if anything, it's delving into a different vein, but I would remove the launch program before I would remove the parental homeschool.
I have a question on the launch program coming up. So okay. Mark, let's keep it right now with some kind of tax credit or payment for homeschool parents and private school parents.
Well, right now they can apply for it. In fact, I think that's closed. The window's closed now for application for House Bill 93 money. But that is available for students to offset their costs of private school or education.
How much does it offset? I think I'm trying. I don't
have $5,000 for most students, and for special ed, I think it goes up to $7,500.
Students like four in a family. It's $5,000 per family is what I'm thinking.
$5,000 per student, right. So it actually can be a tax refund if the money is spent. There are some income issues as well. That's $50 million that, you know, you talked about property tax. The private school groups, I think private school students in our area, about 5 to 7% of our kids, but almost all of the property owners here, whether they're new families or senior citizens, we talk about property tax relief. If you apply that $50 million to our property tax situation, we probably could have had a 5% property tax cut on that. So that's the tough part about making these different tax decisions is to figure out where you're going to get the maximum benefit out of it. And in this case, you could get, I think, a broader audience by using that money for property tax reform rather than, or somehow a balance of that money with property owners.
Jane, do you have a comment on that?
I do. I just wanted to comment that Mark did vote no on H93 school choice.
Which means what to our audience?
Well, which just means that he's not in support of it. So I want them to know that. I know he knows the ins and outs of what's done with that money, but he actually did not support it.
That's true. I didn't. I think it would be a better use of the money to get it out to a broader spectrum of people in our community. And I think that would work better for District 1. We don't have the number of private schools that Treasure Valley does. They're going to get our money into that system, and more kids in the Treasure Valley are going to use them than live in Bonner's Ferry.
Well, all right, this is Switzerland sitting here right now, so we're going to take a break. We're up to a commercial break. We're going to do that right now.
Hi, this is Brett Taylor with Taylor & Son Chevrolet, serving the greater Sandpoint area. The clocks have been rolled forward and we trudge through spring, which means a lot of North Idaho customers will be looking for the best price on a new set of tires. Taylor & Sons has taken action. Right now, we have the best selection of name brand tires our dealership has ever had. Taylor & Sons is the premier location to find the exact tires you're looking for at the best price. Taylor & Sons stocks and sells all major tire brands, Michelin, BFG, Goodyear, Bridgestone, and more. Taylor & Sons offers a 30-day price match guarantee on most major brands of tires. If you find a better price within 30 days of purchase, Taylor & Sons will refund the difference. In addition to the price match guarantee, Taylor & Sons is offering rebates and discounts on select brands of tires now through April 30th. All of the work is performed in our clean, state-of-the-art facility. You can view our current service department specials online at tschevy.com, and for your convenience, online scheduling is available. For guest-focused service, a world-class facility, and value for your money, it's Taylor & Sons Chevrolet.
Hey, come on, let's go outside. Don Thomas here for Sandpoint Furniture, inviting you all to a great new way to indulge yourself at home. Sandpoint Furniture has brought in a new, higher-end outdoor line of furniture called Bitterroot Outdoor, made by the Amish in St. Ignatius, Montana, and they're always known for their craftsmanship. Each piece of Bitterroot Outdoors is thoughtfully designed and built with a poly-tough material with a 20-year warranty that will stand up to all of our weather elements, rain, snow, and bright sunny days, without the hassle of covering or maintenance. With several collections and color combinations to choose from, you'll be sure to find the perfect complement to your outdoor space. So the people at Sandpoint Furniture and the folks at Bitterroot Outdoor encourage you to get out with friends and family and enjoy dinner on the patio, drinks around the fire pit, or just relaxing on your deck year-round in comfort and in style. That Sandpoint Furniture across from the Bonner Mall in Ponderay, still making your house a home for almost 80 years.
It's almost time for Lucky Number Tuesday at Bi-Mart. Thousands will win chocolate hazelnut candy from Toffee Fae just by matching their ending number this Tuesday. Plus, buy one for just $2.50 with Tuesday-only pricing. Match your entire number, and you'll win other great items, including Continental's toaster oven. Make sure your favorite Bi-Mart is marked as your home store, making it possible for you to win with your entire number. Thousands win every Tuesday on Lucky Number Tuesday, only at Bi-Mart.
Pro-X Home Center is your spring cleaning headquarters with items you won't find anywhere else in town, like the popular Tornado Spin Mop, Swiffer Wet Jet, and a brand new item, a handheld power scrubber for those tough bathroom cleanup jobs. We can help spring clean outside too with great deals on items like long-handled garden tools, nozzle sprayers, Gorilla carts, leaf blowers, electric mowers, and so much more. Pro-X Home Center, your hometown everything store.
North Idaho's Radio News Talk 97.1.
Hey everybody, all right, welcome back in. We have it going on today with two candidates for state legislature seat 1A. They are Republicans. They're going to be on your Republican ballot, and you get to choose one of them to be the standard bearer for the Republican Party in November. So the topic now for you is fiscal control. And in other words, state spending controls better financial stewardship as you see it. Mark, I'm going to start with you. You know, there's some, say, control spending, less spending. I want to take it a few issues at a time, and you can bring up others. The first one is I'm curious about the non-emergency medical benefits for illegal aliens in Idaho.
Yes, ma'am.
What's going on with that, and what's your position for expanding that, making it work?
I'm not for expanding it. If that's, I'm not sure where you're going with that question specifically.
The cost to Idaho of medical benefits,
right?
If you're not a citizen,
they should be paying the same amount as anybody else does. If you walk into an ER, if you have insurance, which I'm not sure that they will, they should be billed out the same way. So no one, if you walk into an ER, is denied service because of their citizenship.
Exactly.
That's a federal law. EMTALA is the acronym that is for it. And that's how it works.
All right. So, Jane, what do you think? Non-emergency.
Okay. Well, there was a bill, H-135, that would have prohibited illegal aliens from accessing taxpayer-funded assistance. And Mark did vote no on that. Cornell did vote yes. And he's our other conservative legislator down there. And I would have voted yes on that to prohibit that. I don't believe, and you can bill them all you want, but if they're going to get their money is the question. So, no, I think emergency would be the only thing that good Americans would mm-hmm. want to do to help somebody from another country. But then I think that if we're just going to hand them taxpayer-funded assistance all day long, we cannot sustain that.
Right.
And I'll answer to that.
Okay.
You know, I don't think we can call ourselves pro-life if we won't give a care to a pregnant mom. What do we do there in that spot?
Well, if it's non-emergency, that answers your question.
I think the question is, and who determines who has an emergency? So there's some care issues there, some preventative care. People get sick, and then they drag it into the rest of our society. So I think we have to be really careful when we say we will not do this. If we hospitalize a couple of kids for whooping cough here, it's much more expensive than to look at any kind of care, any kind of care. So
got
emphasis
it.
On you need to balance that out. That's the issue that I had, is saying no and absolutely no ultimately can cost a lot of money to hospitalize some people for a week or two to get them through some tough illnesses. So I don't like the idea of spending extra money, but
we got it.
It costs.
Did you have a comment on that or not?
I did not.
Let it alone. All right. The next one, Jane, I'll start with you on this one. Control costs and set conditions for receiving Medicaid in Idaho. The issues of Medicaid are should be well known to everyone, but costs and set conditions for receiving, are you yes or no on that issue?
Well, so I believe that we should restrain the growth of Medicaid, and we need things, guardrails in place to slow that rate, like eligibility caps, work requirements. And I say it plainly, if you're able-bodied with no dependents, then you should be working, because I think it's deleterious to a human being to not be responsible to work for what they get. And not just, it's a disservice to the human potential if you're just going to be handed everything.
All right. Mark, to you?
Sure, I can answer that. As far as the accepting Medicaid issue, we passed a bill this year that will require able-bodied people to actually look back and prove that they've been working for 3 months back. I think the federal standard is 1 month. So we've actually gone farther than that to make sure that those that can work do work. And I voted for that bill.
Have been working or that they will work?
No, that they have been working. That's going to be due at the end of this year, I believe.
So what about if they, going forward, they will work? Will they need to work?
They'll have to continue to prove, I think it's every quarter, that they are working.
Gotcha.
So...
Right.
Yeah, so it's a lot. It's some fairly strict requirements, but I think people in our district expect people to work for their benefits if they possibly can.
All right, keeping with you, Mark, restrictions on taxpayer dollars going to teacher unions. Some of these are trigger points. When I think about, I'm not just teacher, you know, anybody's taxpayer money going to any union. I don't get it, but that's just a taxpayer sitting over here. What do you think about taxpayer money in any form or amount going to any union?
I think that's a trigger issue and you highlighted that. The unions for the teachers, I talked to all three of our superintendents at our school districts. All of them say they get a greater benefit out of having those teachers in an association or a union than if they had to deal with them individually. So that's an issue. It's an efficiency and effectiveness issue. I see you rolling your eyes and you don't believe me, but all those superintendents agree to that, and it's on their own to answer to me, to answer that. So I reached out to them. So there is a benefit to that. I question the cost that people associate with if they have payroll deduction. Idaho is a right-to-work state, and there are laws for that. So that doesn't change the game. So it's not like it's a big giveaway. It is a hot-button issue. I recognize that. But if you really dig down into the details and talk to everybody about it, it's something that there is a value for and you can't walk away from.
All right. Jane, what's your position or thoughts on that?
Well, that was House Bill 98, and it did amend and add to existing law to restrict the use of taxpayer funds towards teachers' unions. Mark did vote no on that, but what I want to clarify is that this also includes not paying teachers while they're going to union activities. It also prevents people who are working in the offices of the schools from using their time on the job to pay the teachers' union dues through their paycheck. So it's the little things they do for the union that they're not going to be allowed to do with this bill.
Did that bill pass?
I believe it did.
Did it pass the House and Senate and signed by the governor, Mark? What was it? House Bill 98.
No, actually 98 was a year or two ago. There's a newer bill, 716 or something like that. So there's a bill this session that went through that did that. The last one I don't think made it.
Other words, it passed and got signed.
Right, but gotcha. Payroll reduction is a one-time thing. I think we get lost in the weeds here. Look at the overall benefit to it. I really question how much, you know, of a benefit and how much cost there really is versus how much benefit it is to the districts to get that job done.
Okay, and keeping it with you, Mark.
Yes, ma'am.
There's tons of stuff on fiscal control and spending control. Name one or another financial or budget cut or, I don't know, increase of something that you do support, whether it passed this legislative session or not.
I ran a bill this session to reinstitute driver's license being suspended for not paying your traffic fines. And it had we had that get to the finish line, we had a good chance to recoup over $23 million in unpaid traffic fines right now. That would go a long way.
How much?
$23 million. So I got it through the House. I was not successful getting it through the Senate Transportation Committee.
Why did the Senate balk at that?
The four senators there didn't think it was right to take somebody's freedom away just because they didn't pay for their traffic fines. I don't believe that's conservative. I don't believe that's responsible. And
I'll bet their argument was that they got to get to work.
That's in the bill. Thank you for that. That's in the bill, and they could go back and forth to work. They can also use their driving privileges for emergency medical situations. So we didn't take that away, but we do in Idaho believe people should be responsible. And I ran that bill.
All right. What do you think? And it was House. How do I find that again?
House Bill 927.
Okay. I know we'll have another number the next time around, but Jane, what do you think of that concept?
Can you rephrase that question? Sorry.
The idea of, well, you can respond to the House Bill 927 about if your driver's license will be at least in some way suspended if you don't pay your fines. But my original question was, name one other area of financial or budget cuts or constraints that you do support. You can comment on that one too.
I would support the repeal or the removal of the launch program. I really believe firmly that a high school graduate does not need $8,000 transferred to a company that's going to train them, that they can either work for it themselves or work. I mean, that's how my kids did it. They worked, they put themselves through school, through training. I don't see where $75 million of taxpayer money needs to be used for graduated seniors to be able to go on to pay. It doesn't go to them. It goes to a place that's going to train them. Places like this that are training these kids, they've got the money to train them themselves. They do not need taxpayer money.
All right. So
I can answer to that,
I want you to. I was just going to tell the audience that I have the launch program on my list. Mark, what's your position?
We have hundreds of kids from our district that have utilized launch funds. These are to professionalize these high school graduates so they can go out and be plumbers, electricians, truck drivers, lots of different high-paying, skilled jobs, healthcare workers, nurses, and all of those positions need to be filled now. They all pay back. They pay considerably more than entry-level jobs where kids have to take years and years and years to be able to take care of their own college education or work professional work experience.
I heard an argument about this, Mark, and I'm going to just lay it out for you to respond to, and that is it essentially, for example, voting in favor of millions of dollars going to Micron when they've got like billions of dollars in sales. It's called corporate welfare. How do you respond?
Yeah, I think the Micron situation, that was a number of years ago. They did some training for them. Micron is now, I mean, if you drive through Boise and look, they have a multi-billion dollar plant going in, and that was to stimulate that plant to get there.
They can't participate in the launch program, so somebody brings their 8K there, they can't use it?
Slow but sure. No, there's a difference. There's a divide between the launch thing and the
And Micron?
Micron, yeah. So it's not the same.
So it's not. How about other instances, corporate welfare?
I'm not aware of any other corporate welfare. I'm not aware of corporate welfare systems there.
All right. I'm going to let Jane comment on this. We're over our last break time, so we're going to do that right now. We've got it going on just for you.
Let Thick and Thin Beams of Bonner's Ferry, your hometown sawmill, help you spruce up your home with new flooring, a decorative mantel, or desktop. There's something special and satisfying about building your home using local wood. Its beauty and strength are hard to beat. Be sure to check with Thick and Thin Lumber first for all your wood product needs. For fast, reliable service and competitive pricing, come see the mill at 4355 Cow Creek Road or check out the website, tntbeams.com.
A beautiful garden starts with quality plants, and the best plants are grown with love and care at the Flower Farm north of Sandpoint. The Flower Farm is open for the season and jam-packed with perfect pansies and heavenly hardy perennials ready to plant now. Plus, pick your gorgeous hanging baskets now while the selection is good. Open 9 to 5 Monday through Saturday and 10 to 4 Sunday. Located on Selly Road, just off Colburn Culver. And remember, healthy plants for happy gardens are grown at the Flower Farm.
Have you been thinking of joining the YMCA? Well, spring is the perfect time. Every new member who signs up between April 1st and May 17th will have no join fee and will be entered to win 3 free months of membership. You get so much when you join the Y. You get access to all 5 local Inland Northwest YMCA locations, 2 free hours of child watch per day when you're at the Y, and you'll receive a handful of guest passes so that you can bring a friend. You also get nationwide access to YMCAs across the country when you travel. Are you already a YMCA member and thinking, hey, wait a second, what about me? Well, don't worry, I've got your back. All current YMCA members are automatically entered into a separate drawing for an additional 3 months of membership. That's right, there will be 2 lucky winners at each of our branches that will receive 3 months of waived membership fees to our YMCAs. Stop by your closest YMCA or visit ymcaiaw.org to join today. This is just another reason that there is no place like this place. The YMCA of the Inland Northwest is a local 501c3 nonprofit charity.
If it's been a while since you visited Grunberg Schloss Collector's Cabinet, you need to get in there. They have preparedness and homesteading books and supplies, emergency rations, food storage supplies, ammo and knives, jewelry, ReadyWise foods, and more. They stock items that you won't find anywhere else in our area. They buy, sell, and trade. Open weekdays, located on Triangle Drive just south of the Kootenai Cutoff Road in Ponderay. Grunberg Schloss Collector's Cabinet.
Need a new ride? Wheels and Waves has got you covered with easy financing on all new and used boats, motorcycles, UTVs, cars, trucks, and vans. No matter your budget, we can make it simple for you to hit the open road or the water with confidence. Check out our extensive inventory or find the perfect vehicle for your summer adventures. Visit us at 43 Algoma Place in Sagal, Idaho, or apply online for financing or just view the inventory at wheelsandwaves.com. Your dream ride is just a click away.
News Talk 97.1
KSPT KBFI.
All right, everybody, welcome back in. We are talking today with two candidates for State Legislature Seat 1A, incumbent Mark Souter and challenger Jane Souter. No relation. So a question came up during the break about illegal immigration in Idaho, the impact, what we think about it, what we want to do about it. Jane, what are your comments in that area?
Well, there were two bills that were in the session in 2026. One was H-700, the other was H-660. The one would make it a misdemeanor for employers to knowingly hire, continue employing, or recruiting illegal aliens or those unauthorized to work under federal law. Mark did vote no on that bill, as well as 660. He voted no. And that bill would require state and local law enforcement agencies to verify and record the immigration status and nationality of arrested individuals in the administration of criminal justice. I feel like both of those bills were really important for our security in our state. And being that we have a northern border, we have a lot of present illegal aliens. And if we're going to be successful, we end our welfare programs so that it's less attractive here in Idaho, but we also need to cooperate with the law, and we need to use those services in order to find those people who are here illegally and then have them removed. So in my estimation, I think it is a problem, and I really think that we need representatives in Boise who will vote that way.
All right. What do you think about that issue?
Actually, I have a question. Jane, have you talked to our local law enforcement people about this issue?
I have not.
Yeah, thanks. I have. It's convenient that you forget that I did vote yes on House Bill 704, which was the E-Verify bill that the House passed along. It got held up in the Senate, but that was an E-Verify bill for farm employees and others.
Explain what that is real quick to our audience.
It requires employers to run the Social Security numbers or whatever information they have into a federal system. They can only do it once, as I understand it, and they do get some false negatives. But regardless, that E-Verify system, I voted yes for. It's convenient to say, oh, he voted against the others, but I voted for that one because that one made sense.
For everything or just agriculture?
I think it's for all businesses to run through E-Verify. I felt 700, which was the other bill there, that's a belt and suspenders issue. If we take care of the requirements for work, that makes a difference. So the criminalization one, it's not needed if you do 704. Yes, I voted against House Bill 659, and then ultimately the federal government coming in and taking over our law enforcement agencies. Our police chiefs and sheriffs didn't want that. They already arrest illegal immigrants. They already work with the federal government. They already hand over those people to the federal government, and we don't need extra federal enforcement nor any extra federal programs.
All right.
And the program doesn't pay for itself. So we have more financial burden, more responsibility to the feds. Doesn't work.
All right. I want to get to education. We're only going to have time for you to tell me, Mark, I'll keep it with you. What's your top issue in education? If we've covered it already, then repeat. But what's your big deal in education?
We need to continue to look at our education system. We need to continue to evaluate it. This year, we passed a bill on to improve our special education reimbursement. Our districts struggle with the costs of special ed. We passed a bill to take care of that this year. Last year, we passed a bill to help with school transportation. Those are the two big issues that we have
for you,
for our districts.
For you, though,
if you talk with your districts, those are what they're going to tell you. That and facilities. We passed bills on my watch to help them pay for their facilities. Sandpoint's doing it. Bonner's Ferry's doing it.
All right, excellent. What is your most important one or two issues for education?
Okay, so home and private school addresses the underperformance of the public school, and school choice is the product of the failure of the public system. Education isn't one size fits all. Every child learns differently, and that's why I believe strongly in school choice. Charter schools, private schools, homeschooling, these are not threats to education. They are solutions.
How would you facilitate that? Then I'm going to bring that one back if Mark has a comment. How are we going to pay for that?
Pay for what?
The homeschool, the school choices.
Oh, just through the how they're doing it now. They could even expand it. If they would get rid of launch, they'd have a lot more money to expand it. And our end product would be a lot better.
All right. He's shaking his head. No. What is it, Mark?
I support choice in education. I've strongly supported our public and charter schools every year in the legislature. I've also supported our homeschool options, our funding and their funding, online education, career technical education from middle school through high school, and the Idaho Launch Program. All these noted efforts have given Idaho families better school choices than when I started in the legislature 4 years ago.
Okay.
It's better now.
And how do you respond to that then, Jane?
I would just say follow the data and be willing to re-examine programs that aren't working. If we've got a percentage of students in Idaho who perform at or above 41%, that's not all that great, and that was 2024. So the percentage of students in Idaho who performed at or above the NAEP basic level was 76% in 2024.
This is a huge door that just got open. Real quick, Mark, about reading scores and math scores.
And I can tell you that this last year we've had scores 10% above last year, because last session, not this one, in the 2025 session, we did more work on our K through three reading programs. We already have a 10% increase in performance.
Okay, I'm going to
stop
you there.
So it works when you follow data.
And let Jane comment. Last 30 seconds, Jane, not to say goodbye, but on education.
I just think that the current system is underperforming, and families deserve the freedom to choose what's best for each child.
All right, excellent. Well, that's the last word in the debate, but now we're going to say goodbye. Mark, I'll start with you. Say goodbye to our audience, please.
I appreciate the time I've had here. Unfortunately, the time is always short.
I know.
I'm your conservative choice. I've represented our district for 4 solid years. I will continue to bring bills to help our district and vote for things that help our own district, whether it's fiscal responsibility or it's public safety or any type of government. Thank you.
And just real quick then, website, and where can they get more information about you?
Mark's
got a little more time there.
Mark Sauter for Idaho.org.
Okay, Mark Sauter for, like, numeral 4?
F-O-R, yes, for Idaho.
Send me back to high school. Anyway, all right, thank you for that, Mark Sauter. All right, Jane, say goodbye to our audience.
Okay. Well, I love living in Idaho. I want to make a difference, and I would appreciate your support and look forward to serving you. You can go to janesauterforidaho.com or janesauter.com or sauterforidaho.com. For more information, you can also go to my events page and see the different events where the candidates will be speaking. And just vote Jane. I am the right Sauter. Thank you.
All right. Well, I'll say it because they didn't. They want your vote. They're here for you to like them and agree or disagree. But the bottom line is they want your vote. I hope you're all registered, you're paying attention, and you're going to participate in the primary on May 19th. All right. That gets to be the last word for today. That's our program for today. A sincere thank you to both you, Mark Sauter, and Jane Sauter, for being here to answer our questions. Hey, everybody, next week we continue focusing in on opposing candidates and often opposing views. Senator Jim Woodward and former State Senator Scott Herndon will be here to talk with you. And, you know, we continue every week to celebrate America 250. It's so on my heart, and the profound wisdom of our founding fathers. Today, listen to John Adams. He was a staunchly Christian man. He signed the Declaration of Independence. He was the first vice president under President George Washington, and then he became our second president of the United States, John Adams. And he said, quote, "We recognize no sovereign but God and no king but Jesus," close quote. All right, so Until next Tuesday, this is Barbara reminding us all to slow down on the roads and on the water because we're getting out there to love each other, and may God continue to bless America and Idaho.